I apologize for the quality of the sound, but you got to realize that thing's older than I am. Amen. But what a blessing that is. I wish that probably didn't mean much to some of y'all. You've never met Brother Randy, but trust me when I say, what a treasure, what a treasure, what a great, great man of God. And I count it a privilege over my ministry to have known him. He just called me just a few weeks ago. And I was talking to Brother Charles. I was trying to remember how many years, Brother Freddie. If you remember, let me know. Brother Charles said he thought it was 07, but I think it was longer. Seems like Brother Randy told me when he called the other day, he calls me every year on the anniversary of Sister Adine's aneurysm. They were here doing our very first missions conference, and Brother Randy called me about midnight and said, come to the hotel fast. And we got there, and Sister Adine had had an aneurysm on her brain. They rushed her to Rome, and we didn't expect her to live. And that was some 10, 11, 12 years ago. And so he calls every year just praising God for what he's done. Amen? And just an honor to have been a little part and been able to know them and acquainted with them. Got to hear him preach over and over. And just a great, great man of God. I just thought it'd be good for y'all to see that. I want you to take your Bible and turn tonight to Exodus chapter number 14. Exodus chapter number 14. Simple little thought. I'm not going to preach very long, but I am going to preach very serious tonight. And I want you to pay attention. Exodus chapter number 14. Listen, the Bible makes a statement that says, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. We have been in a spirit of revival. We had a great revival meeting. We had 8 saved, I believe, on Tuesday night of revival. We had 14 saved that went off to youth rally. And we go on and on and on and on. And I'll be honest with you, this morning felt a little dead in here. If we're not careful, we'll go and we'll get physically tired. That happens to all of us. But there is a momentum that has been moving in our church. Let's not get comfortable. Amen. Am I okay saying that? I'm not going to preach mean tonight, but I'm going to preach straight, okay? Just for a few minutes. The Lord gave me something while we were gone this week, and I just want to share a simple thought with you. If we're not careful, especially the longer you've been saved, the easier it is to get at ease. In other words, lose your zeal, lose your excitement. Amen. Those kids up here singing a while ago, I forgot which one it was, one of these little girls standing in front. I mean, boy, tears just rolling down her face and worshiping and praising God. And people just sitting out there like it's that. Okay, that's normal. That's not normal. That's not normal. Get in your car, go to the mall, and you'll see what's normal. That's outside the norm, and God has blessed us with some kids that are stirred up and want to do something for God. Amen. Instead of sitting there nodding our little pointed heads and thinking, well, that's just normal. Glory to God, we ought to be shouting and praising God. They could be out there sucking on a crack pipe, shooting meth and amphetamines, having illegitimate children and having premarital sex and all that stuff. But there they are singing for the Lord. Let's not get comfortable. What we ought to do is every time the breath of God moves, we ought to say, wow. Wow, man, this is amazing. Amen. Go to a dead church and try it out. Amen. I'm going to show you, if we're not careful, how we get at ease, how we get comfortable in our Christianity, how we just get so casual. I'll never forget Brother Howell said one time years ago, he said the word casual was the root word for the word casualty. He said you only become a casualty by becoming casual. I thought, well, that makes good sense. If we're not careful, we get a little casual. What's casual? Come as you are. Be as you are. Amen. Brother Jerry, everybody's laughing a while ago talking about the biker church. I'm against it. I just go ahead and say it out loud. I'm against it. I'm not against going to eat. I'm not against eating with them. But just the concept of a biker church says You can be saved and live like you used to. Amen. Now listen, Brother Chris knows, and I know Brother Chris, we know one another very well, and we love cowboy stuff. We love horses, and we love riding. And they got cowboy churches now all over the country, but we're not going to one. Just because our lifestyle involves horses and enjoying that, that does not mean that our Christianity has got to match up with that. Our life ought to be trying to match up with the Lord Jesus Christ. Are y'all okay? We were in New Mexico this week. Me and Levi were the only people there, Brother Caleb. They came all three nights. Brother Caleb, Levi, and myself, we're the only men in the place with a tie on, including the pastor. They all wore cowboy boots, which I love. They all wore cowboy hats, another check mark. They wore Western-looking suits and bolo ties. And the preacher said, "You don't have to wear that." I said, "Man, that's your culture. I'm fine with that. I don't have anything against it. That's your culture. That's where you live. That's what you are. Are we okay?"
Yes, sir.
But around here, a preacher wears a tie.
Yes,
I hate them.
Yes, sir.
But it's not part of the uniform you have to wear at work. Amen?
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, as a pastor, I don't want to get to the place where it's just casual. I don't want to get to a place where I'm just used to being here and used to you and used to the youth choir and used to our adult choir. Man, they were awesome this morning.
Yes,
and people just sitting there. You need to go one of them churches where they ain't got nothing but a bunch of what I call round mouth singing. Sound like you at the opera. Woo-hoo-hoo. I can't stand that stuff, man. I want something with some feeling in it. Amen. I told you I'd be quick tonight. Let me give you what's on my heart and what I believe the Lord would have us here and have us here together tonight. I want you to look at Exodus chapter number 12, chapter number 14. Look at verse number 11. Now, if you know the story, God has appeared to Moses in the burning bush, sent him down to Egypt, and told him to set his people free. The children of God were in bondage. They were in Egypt in bondage. Y'all know what they were in Egypt? Somebody tell me. They were slaves. They were slaves. They were under the bondage and the dictatorship and the rule of Egypt. Now, if you know your Bible very well, if you've been in Sunday school very long, you know Egypt is always a picture or a type of what? Somebody help me, class. The world. Now, when Moses led God's children out of Egypt, that was a picture of what? Getting saved. Thank you. Where before you got saved, you were in bondage. Bondage to what? Somebody tell me.
Sin.
You were in bondage to sin. You were in bondage to the devil and to this world. We sing that song, "He Set Me Free." Once like a bird in prison I dwelt. He set me free. Amen. Once like a bird in prison I dwelt. No freedom from my sorrow I felt. Then Jesus came like a... He set me free. Thank God. I have to break out the songbook here in a minute, man. My mind just went blank. But when you got saved, that was a type of a change coming off. That was a type of you being set free from the bondage of what was behind you. Now I want you to watch the attitude. God is freeing His children from bondage. They are on their way out. They're free. Now, no longer do you get free, then trouble shows up. Because you're saved don't mean you don't have trouble. Some of y'all come home from youth rally on cloud nine shouting and praising God, begging to testify. Some of these boys begging to preach. Probably you got back home, went to school, and all your friends wasn't as excited about what happened as you are. Probably even some family wanted to throw a wet blanket on the fire God was burning in your heart. Trouble gonna show up. Verse number 11, watch this. Let me look at verse number 10. The Bible said, "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, The children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. Now watch the next statement. And they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Now stay with me. Did they have reason to be afraid? Would you have been? Sure you would. Every one of us. The greatest army on the face of the planet is after you. You've been a slave under bondage to them for all these years. Some of them their whole life. They knew nothing but slavery. When I got saved, I'd been a slave my whole life. I knew nothing but slavery. Then that old devil's army started marching after me. That scared me. But I want you to notice they respond in the wrong way in verse number 11. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? They thought they were fixing to die. Had they seen the miracles of God? They seen the flies, they seen the frogs, they seen the water turned into blood, they seen the serpent, they seen it all. They seen the lice, they seen the locusts, they seen everything God had done. And just like us, we think God can't handle this one. Okay, maybe God did this and maybe God did that, but this is just too much. This is just too big. And they said unto Moses, he brought us out here to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Why did you even bring us out here? Is not this the word we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, look at the next three words, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. They looked at Moses and they made this statement. I'm going to preach from this just for a few minutes tonight. Let us alone. I travel all over this country and stay in motels, and I'm really praying about backing that off a little bit. It's really wearing and tearing on me. But anyway, I stay in motels all this go over this country. I have a habit when I check in a motel, I get to my room before I unpack, before I do anything. There's a little sign on the inside of the door. I move from the inside of the door and I hang it on the outside of the door. And that little sign stays there till I check out. Do not disturb. Do not disturb. Leave me alone. Here's what I'm wondering tonight as I preach to you for a few minutes on this thought. Do not disturb. I wonder how many of you, in your heart, you bring this sign to church with you. When it gets time to the altar call, hey, don't you see the sign, Holy Ghost? Leave me alone. We've got too many people. Oh, you're faithful. Thank God you're here. But you don't want God fooling with you. It got quiet, didn't it? I wonder how many brought a do not disturb sign. The altar calls always for somebody else. If you come to the altar, it's during the singing. You never respond to the Word of God or the preaching of the Word of God. I'm not preaching mean. I'm just stating some facts. Could it be like the maid in the hotel, or they don't like to be called maids anymore. It's housekeeping. Fancy name for maid. They walk by my room. They have fresh towels, new soap, new shampoo, whatever my room may need. But because they see my sign, oh, he wants to be left alone. So they don't knock. They don't disturb. They just go on by. What makes you think God's any different? God, like that housekeeping service, He comes by and He wants to do something in your life and He wants to do something in your heart. He wants to enrich something. He wants to make something better. He wants to make you stronger. He wants to make you more like Him. But I wonder how many times He comes by. And you've got the do not disturb sign out. And like the children of Israel, just let me alone. I'm happy where I'm at. I'm saved. Ain't that enough? No. Being saved is not enough. Salvation is just the door where you got in. Amen. Salvation is the beginning of the journey. Amen. There's so much more to being saved than just being saved. Amen. There's a growing and a walking with the Lord that you just don't know about because you've got the do not disturb sign hanging out. God wants to do something with your life. Amen. You know what He wants to do? He wants to make a Christian out of you. Oh, preacher, leave us alone. Leaving you alone is not my job. My job is, hey, I got mad one day. I mean, I got mad. I was dead dog tired. I forgot where I'd flown to, but I got there and I was wore out. I wanted to rest a little bit before church time. Ain't nothing wrong with that, right? Put my do not disturb sign out. I got my stuff unpacked, laid down across the bed, studied a little bit, got settled on what I was supposed to preach, and shut my eyes. No more did I shut my eyes. Housekeeping. Housekeeping. I said, hey, can't you read? Sorry, housekeeping. I had to get up and get dressed and go to the door. I said, ma'am, I'm sorry, but I have my do not disturb sign. But Mr. White, you just checked in. We wanted to make sure everything was satisfactory. She was being polite. Yeah. Yeah. But I was mad because she disturbed me.
Yeah.
Some of y'all might get mad tonight because I'm going to disturb you. Some of y'all are like me in the hotel. You want the convenience of the hotel.
Come on now. Amen.
Continental breakfast. My favorite hotel is a Hampton Inn. I'll tell you why. They have biscuits and sawmill gravy with sausage chunks in it. That's breakfast right there.
Amen.
Amen. They got a good breakfast. I love the convenience of the breakfast. Some of you like the pool and the hot tub. The exercise room and the free internet. Let me enjoy all the benefits of my stay. Just don't bother me. I love the convenience of church. I love the support.
Yeah.
I love the friendship and the fellowship. I love the laughter. I love going out to eat with the old people. I love singing with the young people. We okay? I love it when the Lord shows up and the singing stirs my heart. Makes me feel good. But don't bother me.
Come on, that's good, preacher.
Yes, sir. Amen.
We love the convenience of it, but we don't want the change of it. If any man be in Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17. If any man be in Christ, the Bible said he's a new creature.
Yeah,
now listen, you get saved, something ought to change. Let me say it again. You get saved, something ought to change.
Amen.
Some of you got saved, something changed, and you have regressed. And every time the preacher gets personal.
Yeah.
Can't you read? Got me this do not disturb sign. You know what happens when the preaching gets where you live? Some of you start looking at your phone.
Yeah. That's good.
You just cut it off.
Yeah.
I hope we're okay tonight.
I
wonder if the Lord could just illuminate our hearts so we could all see. Wonder how many is wearing this tonight. Yeah, Lord, I'm here. Just don't bother me. Lord, I pray you'd get a hold of somebody, but don't mess with me. I've been praying for somebody to get right. I've been praying you'd get a hold of somebody and they'd get on that altar. I've been praying for them week after week. I wonder if God's not answering that prayer because we've got our do not disturb sign out. We want the convenience of the hotel, but we don't want the conviction.
Amen.
We want the convenience of the church, but we don't want the conviction. Oh, you're fine as long as we're preaching like we did this morning when we talk about what's so good about our God and how our God's better than any other God and how our God is supreme to every other being that ever has been, ever will be. And we can all that are saved shout right there and say, amen, preacher.
Amen.
But boy, when the preaching gets down here where we live, let me tell you something. When I'm in them motels, Brother Terry, I don't mind them knocking on somebody else's door. I can hear them coming down the hall. I know before they get there. Housekeeping. They'll get down. They're getting closer. Housekeeping.
Amen.
And I hear them go in them rooms. And I hear the water running and the vacuum. What's happening is everybody else up and down the hall is getting what they need.
Yeah, that's good.
But they get to my place, Brother Freddie, and they go, oh, he don't want nothing.
Amen.
He wants to just be left alone. This week, my wife stayed in the hotel with me. And the biggest reason I put that sign out is because I travel alone. And I'm very careful.
Amen.
But my wife's with me this week. We got to the room and I put that sign out there and we got up, what day we got up? We got up Wednesday morning to go into Santa Fe and that little sign was on there. She said, take that sign off the door. I said, I don't want them people in our room. She said, I'm with you. She said, I do not want to dry off with a wet towel tonight.
Yeah.
She said, the garbage can's running over. I want my bed made. She said, I'm not at home. Take that sign off the door. She said, that service is included in the price. I want what somebody's paying for. If somebody's going to make my bed, I'm letting them make it. If somebody's going to carry out my garbage without having to be told five times, I'm going to let them. I said, I hear you, sister. I took that sign off the door. We went to Santa Fe and come back in a little while, and our room looked just like it did when we checked in. When I left, there was empty water bottles. We went and got breakfast and brought that up to the room. There was plates and coffee cups. The bed was upside down. Not upside down. You know what I'm talking about. Dirty towels was laying in the floor. I come back. That bed was made. The garbage was gone. Fresh towels where the dirty ones used to. No. Dirty ones is in the floor. Fresh towels on the rack. What happened? I took my sign down.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's good.
Took my sign down. Our problem is we don't want to admit that we need a service. We don't want to admit that we need anything. We want to do like I do when the mate, you know what they even do? They slip a note under my door to let me know they came by, but because I had my do not disturb sign out, they went on down the hall. Are you listening? What they're trying to say is, I know your room's nasty. You've been here 4 days. I know it's dirty in there. But I want you to know I come by yesterday and the day before, and because you don't want me in, you can live in your mess. We don't want the conviction. Oh, come on, Brother Eddie, preach about how good God is. I am. He's good enough to convict us of our sin. You want to do what you want to do on Saturday night? You want to go to the bar/restaurant, toss a few and come to church Sunday and... You want to look at filth?
Come on.
Talk trash on the internet? Then come church Sunday and go. Hold that up. You know what he's saying? Preach to her.
Yeah.
I'm going to be sending texts right about now. I'm updating Facebook right now.
Amen.
I don't care who you are, how spiritual you think you are, every one of us brought this church with us.
Amen.
How long has it been since you've been convicted? There's only one reason the Lord wouldn't convict you of your sin. You don't want to do better.
Amen.
You don't want victory. Just leave me alone. I'll come to church. I'll tithe. I'll do about anything you ask me to do. But don't bother me. Don't tell me about how I ought to read my Bible and how I ought to pray, how I ought to live right and how I ought to do right. Don't tell me I ought to dress right. Don't tell me a man ought to look like a man and a woman ought to look like a woman. Y'all okay?
Yes, sir.
I'd probably make somebody mad right here. Brother Todd, me and Caleb and Levi, Thursday morning, we got up. I mean early. I mean it was early. We got up, women were still asleep, and Mason was still asleep, and it was a Starbucks one block up and across the street. Levi is a Starbucks fanatic. You get them free? Now I'm gonna leave that alone. Let me just suffice it to say this. They some weirdos working at Starbucks. We went in and there's a guy waiting on, I guess he was, there's a guy waiting on us, had his hair, what do you call that, when they put the highlights, had highlights all in his hair, and had a big old ponytail on the back of his head. Levi said, what are you going to get? I said, I'm going to get just a coffee if I can get old ponytail's attention. And I said it not where he could hear me, of course. I'm nice, you know. And Caleb said, Brother Eddie, you got to get with the times. That ain't a ponytail. Well, I said, what is that? He said, it's a man bun. That's about how I reacted. I said, son, you need to read your dictionary. That's an oxymoron right there. Man and bun don't go in the same sentence.
Amen.
Amen. Don't y'all boys even think about starting in that hipster movement. I'll preach up one side you and down the other.
Amen,
brother. I seen a man the other day at Target. Had to be my age, older even, wearing skinny jeans. I thought you old fruitcake. Anyway. I don't even know how I got off on all that. That man bun just tore me up. Brother Robbie, you ain't got nothing to worry about, amen? A man bun. Hey, it ought not to bother you. We preach a little bit on standards. If I tell you if you're going to sing in this choir, ladies, you need to have a skirt on.
Amen. Amen.
I shouldn't bother you. You men, let them tell you how to dress at the golf course. You wear a uniform on your job, they tell you to. What better job is serving God? All right now. What's the old timers used to say? You done quit preaching and went to meddling. We want the convenience, but not the conviction. Ask yourself a question tonight and I'll move on. I said, I'd hurry. How long has it been since you've been convicted of anything? You say, what is conviction? Some of you don't have a clue. Conviction is when the Holy Spirit sits down in your lap and says, he's talking to you. When you get a little mad or sideways with the preaching, that's a good indication. God's ringing your bell.
That's good, preacher. Yes, sir.
And you're sitting there going, can't you read? We okay tonight? I love y'all with all my heart.
That's good, preacher. You're helping us.
We want the convenience of God. Something major happens in our life, we're the first ones to holler, pray for me. Don't get me wrong, I don't mind. I pray for you every day, whether you ask me to or not. Sometimes three times a day. Some of you, I keep you in my heart all the time because I worry to death about you. Because you had this sign out so long. We online, ain't we? You don't cut it off. It don't matter. I'm not going to name names. I hugged a guy's neck recently. Let's put it that way. And he smelled so bad that I couldn't handle it. Just what y'all call B.O.? Body odor? I left and went to eat. I was riding down the road in my truck and I put my hand to my face for something, to wipe my eye or something, and I could still smell it. And I got up close to my wife and I said, is it just me or do you smell body odor? And she said, oh, did you put on deodorant? I said, woman, I wouldn't smell like that if I went a week without it. And I told her who I'd hugged and shook hands with, and she said, yeah, she said she noticed that too. Here's what she said, and I'm not belittling anybody. I'm just trying to give you an illustration. She said, here's the sad part. They probably don't even notice it.
You're right.
That's right.
You're right.
They probably don't even realize it. They're used to it. Kind of a harsh illustration. But living in our sin is kind of harsh too. If we're not careful, we get the point, it don't bother us anymore. The near nudity on television. The taking of the Lord's name in vain. Over and over and over. The homosexuality crammed down our throats. And we're just, oh, that's just the way it is.
Right.
We want the convenience without the conviction. We have the convenience, but without the conviction, I'm almost done. There will not be any cleaning. Can I say it again? There will not be any cleaning. We're never going to get our hearts clean till we get convicted about them being dirty. I hope we're okay tonight. When's the last time the Lord convicted you about something and you did something about it? One of our teenagers, Brother Stacy will tell you, I'm not making this up, this is all God's truth. Come and grab me before Sunday school ever started. Tears running down her face. And she said, I need to apologize to you. I said, for what, sweetheart? She said, I was misbehaving in church the other day. She said, I asked God to forgive me. She said, I'm so sorry. I thought, wow.
Yeah.
She walked away and Stacy said, boy, her little heart's so tender. And I thought, thank God. Why can't we all have a heart like that? She's convicted over cutting up in church. And I know sin's sin, and if we're not careful, we categorize it, but some of us are guilty of a whole lot more than cutting up in church, and it doesn't bother us at all. Need to say, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Conviction shouldn't scare us. Conviction should be welcomed. You know what conviction does, Brother Freddie? It lets me know God still cares about me. And when the preacher rears back and I feel like it's hitting me between the eyes, I'm like, thank God you still care enough to send me a message.
Amen.
Boy, Brother Eddie, this ain't what I came for. I know. He brought you do not disturb sign.
Yeah, that's good. Yes, sir.
We want the convenience without the conviction.
Amen.
And without the conviction, there'll be no cleaning. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of people who preach sinless perfection. And we won't reach that till we get to heaven.
Amen.
Till we have a body like Jesus'. As long as we're here, we're going to have to deal with sin. But one of the most dangerous things you can do in your Christian life is live off of 1 John 1:9.
Yeah.
If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just. Yeah, but there's time. We ought to get over some of it.
Amen. Yeah. Amen, preacher.
There's a time we ought to start doing a little bit better.
Yeah.
Amen.
Or think about some things in our life. Oh, Lord, I could do better here and I could do better there. Somebody say amen right there.
Amen.
Without the conviction, there'll be no cleaning.
Amen.
That little girl this morning was heartbroken. She was so afraid she'd let God down and she'd let her preacher down. I wanted to say, honey, that ain't nothing. That ain't nothing, honey. Let me tell you what so-and-so did last week.
Amen. Amen.
Are you listening? It wasn't a big deal to me. I didn't see her cutting up.
Yeah.
I didn't see her misbehaving, but evidently somebody did.
Yeah.
Evidently the Holy Spirit did.
Yeah.
And it broke her heart.
Yeah. Amen.
And I thought, you know, the Holy Spirit sees everything I do.
Yes, He does.
The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good, according to the book of Proverbs. What breaks our heart anymore? Does them filthy jokes break your heart after you tell them? I'm just curious. How long's it been since you got on your face and said, Lord, You're right. I'm sorry. I wonder how many might tonight just reach outside the door of your heart. Take a sign down.
Amen.
Say, yep, Lord, it's a mess.
Amen.
Come on in. Do whatever you need to do.
Yeah.
Kind of a different message tonight, huh?
Amen.
Good.
You know what we ought to do? We ought to throw our sign away. We ought to throw our sign away. And we ought to say, God, disturb me anytime You want.
Amen.
Yes.
Whether it's on my job, whether it's during the preaching, whether it's through my spouse. Some of the biggest fights Sister Angie and I ever had. It's her trying to correct me. And I get mad about it. You say, bless God, my wife ain't telling me what to do. Mine wasn't either. She's trying to help me. She's trying to be my helpmeet and make me better. You know what my problem was? I'd show her the sign. She'd correct my preaching. Every time on the way home, I'd say, "How was that?" And she'd say, "Well, you shouldn't have said this, you shouldn't have said that." I was like, "Hey, you keep your nose out of my preaching." She was like, "You asked." See, I'm trying to help you. Man, God got on me about that one day. He said, "I gave you her for a reason. She's got more sense than you." I said something when I was preaching the other night in New Mexico, and I looked out there and she went, Somebody asked me what her middle name was. Holy Spirit. And while I'm preaching, my mind's going, "She's right. I should not have said that." Are y'all okay?
Yes, sir.
We ought to take it from wherever God sends it. If the preaching gets under your skin a little bit, good. If I get on to you for getting up and running in and out of church 15 times during a service, good. Your children don't get away with that at school. If I fuss about the iPhones, they don't play with them at school. They take a, you shouldn't get mad at the preacher. Well, how dare him? How dare me not? It's my job. We ought to take the correction from wherever it comes. The Bible said faithful are the wounds of a friend. And I'm not saying we ought to go around pointing out everybody's problems. But you know as well as I do, the Holy Spirit knows where you are. And He knows what you need. And He knows how to ring your buzzer even when you got your sign out. We ought to be thankful for that. The Bible said He chastens them that He loves. If God's getting on you about something, it's because He loves you. If He's wanting to clean up some area of your life, it's because He loves you. Let me just say, like my wife, and I'm done, Brother Thomas, if you want to come on. Brother Todd, if you want to play for him. Let me just say, like my wife did Thursday morning before we left to go sightseeing. She said, "Take the sign off the door, baby." She said, "The cleaning is included in the price."
Yes.
When you got saved, the cleaning was included in the price.
Amen.
That's good, preacher.
Don't cost you nothing. He's already took care of it. All He wants to do is make your old messy bed, pick up your dirty towels,
yes, He does.
Give you a fresh bar of soap. Are you listening? All He wants to do is make things seem a little bit nicer in your heart. If we're not careful, we'd be like the one with the body odor. We've had it so long, we don't even notice it anymore. Let's take our signs down tonight. Say, "Lord, you want to come in? Come on in. I'm open for business." Let's stand our